Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. And that's how God could atone for the sins of Israel, of our people of old. And the Messiah now came. And he fulfilled every form and shape what these lambs and rams and goats and oxen of old that have been offered on an altar. And he is now ready to offer himself as a sacrifice for sin. He did not open his mouth. And so now the high priest was even getting more, you might say, upset because he sought for false witnesses. It did not agree with each other. Then he finally found some to accuse him, and they're accusing him over something that he said, which is wrong, that he's not accusing about it. And now he's getting to a point that he's speaking to Yeshua, and he said to him, "Don't you speak for yourself? Don't you stand for yourself?" And Yeshua held his peace, the calmness, and he answered nothing. Now, what would you do when you are accused by people surrounding you, ready to accuse him? You know, in history, we find out how many people have been accused wrongly and even put in prison for many years. And then later on, they found out they are not even guilty. And this person lost all his life sitting in prison for something he or she have never done. And here we see the Messiah, the supreme example, is not saying a word. But you see, the high priest is not going to give in. Caiaphas have already said that it is better that one will die for all the nation, that all the nation will suffer. So the high priest is intending to come to a point where he can find something to accuse Yeshua. And so notice that now in verse 61, bid. In verse 62, the high priest now asks a second question. You see, the first question was, "Don't you answer for yourself?" He said to him, "Answer thou nothing," he said. But now notice the second question in verse 61b. Then again the high priest asked him, and he said unto him, "Art thou the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed?" In Hebrew, Ha'ata hu ha-Mashiach ben ha-Mevorach. Are you the Mashiach, the Messiah, the son of the Mevorach, of the Blessed? The Blessed One is God. In other words, for one reason or another, he understood that the Hebrew scripture promised when the Messiah will come, he will be the Son of God, the Son of the Blessed One. So he asked him this question. Art thou the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed? Are you the Mashiach, the Son of God? You see, he wanted eventually that Yeshua will say something that he could say, "Here it is, I caught you in your own words, and therefore I can declare you a blasphemy person and eventually will accuse you and send you to Pilate." And so notice that the answer of Yeshua the Messiah. He is answering here with just two words. You might say in Hebrew, you would say one word, where it says here, and Yeshua said. Here is when finally Yeshua come up with a statement as a response to the leaders of those days. He only said to them, "I am." In Hebrew we say, "Anochi," or "Ani." Are you the Mashiach, the Son of the Blessed One, the Son of God? The answer is, "I am." Anochi. Or Ani, 10. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God, the Son of the Blessed One. Now, just think with me for a moment. The Hebrew scriptures have predicted many years ago that when a Messiah will come, he will be God the Son of God. You remember what Isaiah, we always seem to quote Isaiah because Isaiah is the one that spoke the most, you might say, give us vivid information about the coming Messiah. Unto us a child is born, Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Unto us a son had been given, is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, or the Father of Eternity, and the Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor. This is Pele, Yoetz. A Mighty God, El Gibor. And then Everlasting Father, or correctly, the Father of Eternity, Avi'ad. And finally, the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom. And so the Son that was given is the one that is called the Mighty God. God sent his Son to be the Savior of this world. You see, that's what Isaiah has said years ago before the Messiah came. Notice what the psalmist of Israel, David, says in Psalm 2 when he was speaking about the Messiah in verse 7. I will declare a decree. The Lord said unto me, you are my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Verse 12 of Psalm 2, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way. He is the Ben HaElohim. He is the Son of God. That's the one of whom the Hebrew prophets have spoken about from generation to generation. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4, the question was raised, who has ascended up to heaven or descended? Who has gathered the winds in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the end of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? If you can tell, King Shlomo was writing what Agur and Itiel, or Itiel and Ukal, have written down. In other words, there was a question that Agur asked Itiel and Ukal, and he said to them, who is the one who created everything? Who is the one that upheld everything? What is his name and what is his son's name? And so the high priest asked him, and he said to him, are you the Mashiach? Are you the Son of the Blessed? Are you the Son of God? And Yeshua answered very simple, I am. Anochi, Ani, I am the one. See, some people say Yeshua never claimed to be the Messiah, and he never claimed to be the Son of God. Well, here's the answer. He clearly tell the high priest, the Kohen HaGadol, I am both the Mashiach and also the Son of the Blessed One, the Son of God. And you notice, beloved brothers and sisters, when he said that, it reminds us of the story of Moses who went there in the wilderness of Sinai. And he saw the burning bush, and how the one from within the burning bush, the Lord himself, Jehovah or Yahuwah, God himself said to him when Moses asked him, what shall I say to the people of Israel when I'm coming? Who sent me? And in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14, the Lord said to him, I am that I am. In Hebrew it says a little bit more, it says, I will be that which I will be, Eheye Asher Eheye. I will be to Israel everything they will need. I will meet their need. I will meet their challenges. And I will be a help to them. But I am here. I am the one. And in the New Testament, how many times Yeshua said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of this world. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd laid his life for the sheep. I am the resurrection and the life. John 11. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. John chapter 15. Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed? And Yeshua answered, I am. And notice what he adds to that now. Now he began to speak and he said to them in verse 62, ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. In other words, he's saying to them, you will yet see that who I am. I will be the one that's sitting at the right hand of God. Psalm 110 verse 1, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And you shall see me coming in power in the clouds of heaven. This is speak about his second coming. He one day will come, beloved brothers and sisters, according to Daniel chapter 7, the Son of Man, Ben Ha'adam, he's one day going to come in power and authority, and he's going to deal in righteousness with this world who reject him, while now he is SLM led to the slaughter. One day, you will see that I will come in the clouds of heaven. And you remember what Revelation, John tells us, Revelation 1, behold, he cometh in a cloud, and every eye shall see him. Can you imagine when Yeshua is going to come? Revelation 19, at the end of the tribulation period, when he's coming to this earth with authority as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, everyone will bow to him. Every knee will have to confess that he is Lord, that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But here is SLM led to the slaughter. And so we read, beloved brothers and sisters, here that really got the high priest so upset, because the moment Yeshua answered with the word, I am the Mashiach, I am the Son of the Blessed, the Son of God, and I am the one that's going to be sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, and I'm going to come again one day, and you're going to see this in the future day. That's got the Kohen HaGadol, the high priest, exasperated that right now in verses 63 and 64, look at the doing and the saying of the high priest there. Number one, he rent his clothes. And number two, he accused Yeshua of blasphemy and he pronounced him guilty of death. And so we read in verse 63, then the high priest rent his clothes and he said, what need we any further witnesses? And then after he rent his clothes, mourning as if what Yeshua had said, that he so disagreed with him and he so opposed him. He says, look, he's now blaspheming. He ripped his clothes apart. And then in verse 64, he says, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. In a sense, brothers and sisters, the high priest who should have led the people to come to know who the Messiah is, ended up to be the one who led the people from acknowledging that he was truly the Messiah of Israel. And so they all eventually condemn him to be guilty of death. And now notice how sad an innocent man who have done nothing wrong, who is actually the lover of Israel, the savior of sinners. Now what they do with him in verse 65, we see the evil treatment that Yeshua have experienced from some of these men, those servants who stood by. It says in verse 65, some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say unto him, prophesy, And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. Can you imagine, beloved brothers and sisters? They spit at him. They cover his face. They buffet him. And they strike him. And by doing so, they fulfilled what Isaiah also spoke again about the Messiah's experience when he will come here to this world. Isaiah predicted the Messiah suffering and being spitted upon by those he came to redeem. Look what we read in Isaiah 50 verse 4. The Lord God had given unto me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Morning by morning he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God have opened mine ears, and I was not rebellious, neither I turn away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them who plucked off the hair. And I hid not my face, listen to that, from shame and from spitting. Isaiah 50 in verse 6. I hid not my face from shame and from spitting. Here in chapter 14 of Mark, the Jewish leaders behave in that way. Later on, when you're going to go to chapter 15, the Romans were spitting at him and mocking him and beating him in chapter 15. Imagine the behavior towards the person of the Messiah who was innocent, who was holy, who was harmless, and who was undefiled. Now let me just conclude with the last verses about Shimon Petros, who followed the Lord, who wanted to show that he is able to stand for him, and even if anybody will deny him and everyone will forsake him, he will not. And we read already in verse 54 of Mark chapter 14 that he followed, but he followed afar off. He sat down with those who opposed the Messiah, and he was warming himself by the fire. And now the test have arrived. When the time came, in verse 66 to 72, we find out the denial of Yeshua, the Messiah, by Peter. And so in verses 66, 67, 68 is the first denial. Peter was beneath in the palace, and there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also was with Yeshua of Nazareth." And notice verse 68. But he, this is the first time, Peter denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand what thou sayest." And he went out of the porch, and the cock crew. That was the first denial of Peter. Oh yeah, earlier he said, "Though all will deny you, I will not deny it." The Lord told him, "You will see that you're going to deny me three times before the rooster will crow. Twice you're going to deny me three times." And here we find Peter's first denial. He says, "I do not know, and I do not understand what you are saying." And he left that palace, went out into the porch. And immediately he heard the rooster crowing. Then in verses 69 and 70, we see his second denial. There, notice that again, he said, "And a maid," it's another one, "another girl, saw him again and began to say to them," she was saying to the people that stood by, said that this is one of them. And of course, Peter is there. He's warming himself there in the fire. He's sitting with them outside. And so Peter now there, it says here in verse 70, he denied it again. This is the second time that he denied that he was one of the disciples. The maid says, "This is one of them, one that was with Yeshua the Messiah, one of the followers of Yeshua," and he denied it again. But then finally, brothers and sisters, in verses 70b to verse 72, here's the third denial of Peter. It says here in verse 70b, now they that stood by, this is the other people who stood by there, says here in verse 70b, they said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them. For thou art a Galilean, ta meha Galil, and thy speech agrees thereof. In other words, your speech, your accent of the Hebrew there is really a Galilean accent that you speak, different than the Judean, from the people from Yehuda. The people from Galilee have a different accent or different mannerism or way to express themselves. But again, the third time in verse 71, he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And immediately, verse 72, the second time the rooster crew. Now you notice what we read here, that he cursed in verse 71, and he swore. Now don't misunderstand, the word curse does not mean that Peter cursed like we hear people curse today. The word here, curse, comes from the Greek word anathema. In Hebrew we say cherem. Anathema or cherem, like Paul said in Galatians 1, if anyone preach any other gospel than the gospel that I have given unto you, let him be anathema. That's the same word, cherem, anathema, accursed. In other words, Peter, you might say, applied this to himself. The word cherem, the word accursed, means devoted for destruction. And he was really saying, he says, you know, here I am. I was claiming that I will stand for the Messiah and I will not deny him, though all will deny him. And now I find myself failing when they only ask me, if I know him and I am one of those Galileans that follow the Messiah. He began to curse. In a sense, he began to speak of himself. To say, I deserve to be punished. I'm wrong. And then he says in another word, the word forswear here in Hebrew, it's lehishava, to make an oath. And the oath was, I do not know this man. It is interesting because in the Hebrew, that statement, he began to curse and to swear. In Hebrew, it says, Vayachel lehachrim et nafsho. He began to devote his own soul into destruction. And then he swear. He made an oath. Said, I don't know. I promise you, I don't know him at all. I don't know him, this man of whom you speak. And immediately, the rooster crew. And Peter called to mind. You know, what I love about that is that Peter understood now that he was wrong. Because immediately he called to mind a word that Yeshua said earlier in verse 30. In verse 30 of our chapter, Yeshua said to him, verily I say unto you that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, you shall deny me thrice. And now Peter kind of looked back and he remembered the words of Yeshua the Messiah, who said to him, before the rooster will crow two times, you will deny me three times. And it hit him. It hit him. And you notice what it says? It says, when he thought thereon, he wept. If you will read Matthew 26, verse 75, he wept bitterly. I can just imagine, perhaps the eyes of Yeshua somehow from inside was locked with his eyes, and he saw the very one that he promised him that he will never deny him. And he realized that he denied his Lord. He denied the Messiah. And he realized, like we all need to realize, that we fail God. That we need his grace to sustain us if we are going to follow after him. And that all the promises that we make to him, we have to be careful to ask him, Lord, give me grace. You know, every year we turn the page, we make new commitment, a new year, a new white page, we're starting in, and we make all kind of new year resolutions and promises to God. I will be faithful and I will do this. And then we break them every time. And we need, like Paul needed to hear from the Lord, my grace is sufficient for you. I will give you grace for the moment. Don't trust yourself. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, just acknowledge Him. Don't trust in yourself because you will fail again and again and again. You know, whenever we're going to stop to fail, when the Lord will give us a glorified body, suitable for His presence, sin apart. That's the time that we're going to be in perfection, honoring the Lord. But here and now, we need His grace every time. And the beautiful thing, beloved brothers and sisters, just to say that, Peter wept. That shows us that he really cared, that he was broken before the Lord. And then later on, the Lord said to the disciples, you go tell the disciples and to Peter that I will meet them in Galilee. And in the Galil, he restored Peter into ministry. You don't find Judas weeping. You don't find the high priests weeping. You don't find all those who rejected the Messiah, who accused him wrongly, weeping. But you find Peter weeping. Because Peter was a child of God who failed. But he was one that belonged to Yeshua the Messiah. Praise God for the fact that there is restoration for those who belong to Yeshua the Messiah.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.